Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen to that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to speak to us this morning. I pray that I would just speak words of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive the things of the Spirit. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're looking at the Gospel of John this morning. We've been in the Gospel of John for a while here. And we'll be at John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. That'll be our text. It goes like this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what we're going to look at this morning is that, you know, Jesus makes us a power promise. I'm going to put that. Jesus makes us a power promise. And think about that as we're going through this, because he's going to explain what that is. But Jesus, he says this, he makes a power promise. Now what Jesus does, he comes in, and we open up in the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, but here in the Gospel of John specifically, we see Jesus coming in and setting up the kingdom that was spoken about in the Old Testament. So he's bringing this, and he's making a transition here. So he's giving us information on what's going to happen. So we're paying attention to what Jesus says. Now this has happened. It's here. It's here. And he's explaining it to us, all right? Now, so he's moving us, if you will, he's moving us, you think about it, Jesus is moving us from the age of the law, rules and regulations, he's moving us from the age of the law to the age of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. He's moving us into the age of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we live. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us how this operates, and he's telling us how to live, and he's telling specifically his disciples. All right? And so don't be, you know, discouraged if you don't understand it. I'm going to tell you, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue what he's talking about. And you can tell at the very end of his ministry, they did not understand. But he's explaining this to them, and once the Holy Spirit comes, they could understand, and they saw. So that's what Jesus is doing, and he's making us that promise. And we're going to look at that promise. We're going to look at the promise that Jesus made. Now, first verse we're going to look here, John 7, 37. And it says this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now this is significant. He goes, on the feast. Now we're sitting here, and we think, the feast. Okay, what? Whatever, just go on. You know, it's like Thanksgiving or something, and we just. But no, this was a very specific feast. It's very important to understand what feast Jesus was at. This is a Jewish feast. This is a big Jewish feast, and it's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the feast. Now, it doesn't tell you that. You kind of have to figure it out when you read through that. But it's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jews knew what feast it was, all right? So it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what's important about the Feast of Tabernacles, it's one of three major feasts, including Passover and Pentecost. You have Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. And on those three feasts, all of the Jews, all the people, were required to go to Jerusalem. They were required to go to the temple, and they were required to worship. I mean, they had to cancel all their soccer games, you know, I mean, the carpool. They had to go. And so they would go to these three feasts. Well, this is the last of the feasts of this Jewish feast, all right? Now, here's something important. You know, this is just something you can kind of store away. You don't have to know this, but I think it's important. Most New Testament scholars and people look at this, all the Old Testament feasts, all the Old Testament laws projected forward, prophetically moved forward, and they prophesied the coming of Christ. Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. This particular feast prophesies things in the future. The Passover prophesied the cross. Pentecost prophesies the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know when the Holy Spirit came? the day of Pentecost. It came on the Jewish Old Testament feast. Can you imagine that? Why? Because God prophesied it in the Old Testament. When it came during the New Testament, he sent the Holy Spirit. So those feasts, Jesus was crucified at Passover. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Those are Old Testament feasts. Now we have the Feast of Tabernacles. What happens there? Well, most scholars believe, and I do myself, that Tabernacles is a picture of the worldwide church. A picture of the worldwide church. Okay, now it's an interesting festival, because one of the things they did, and also, I don't talk about the sacrifices. I mean, they sacrificed a slew of animals and lambs, all right? But other than that, what you had at the Feast of Tabernacles, what was different is they would all come and they would build little like tents out of tree branches and palm branches. They'd build little tents. That's tabernacle, like tent. That's what it means, okay? And they would stay in these little tabernacles, in these little portable tents. That was part of the feast. Now, what in the world would any Jewish kid want to be in a wooden tent? Mom, what are you doing? I don't know. They told us to. You know. Well, what it did, it was prophesying the worldwide church that didn't live in a building. It lived in people. It was movable. See, it was a prophecy of the church, the Feast of Tabernacles. So here we have this Feast of Tabernacles, of these temporary shelters, Now also what the Jews did at this time, they kind of embellished it. You know, you give us something long enough, we want to add to it, right? So they embellished it. What they did, what they started, there wasn't anything wrong with it, but there's no commandment for them to do that. They embellished the Feast of Tabernacles, and they'd have this procession of priests that would come from the temple, and they'd all march down, and they'd march to the pool of Siloam, and they'd dip out water, and then they'd pour it out as an offering. And it was to show the provision that God gave them in the desert. So they just pour out water. That's cool. You know, I mean, that's neat, wasn't it? I mean, but they just added that. So that's what they're doing. So this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing at this feast, and Jesus is there. So we have this picture. If you will, we have this New Testament picture of this pouring of water. We have this New Testament picture of the living church, the moving church, not in the temple, because the people living in shelter. So you have this picture. And then what we have is Jesus stands up. So, I mean, you ever have, you know, like Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and you have a crazy uncle. You know, a crazy uncle's up there, and he just stands up and tells a joke or something. Oh, my gosh. You know, he's family, so you can't ask him to leave. You know, it's like, so, well, almost, and I don't mean sacrilegious, Jesus stands up almost like this crazy uncle. He stands up, and he cries out. Everybody hears him. They're doing their feast, and he cries out. Jesus cries out, and he says this. He goes, they're pouring water out. You know, praising the Old Testament. Things happen in the Old Testament. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, that would put a little damper on your party, wouldn't it? He stood up, and everybody's going, what is he doing? See, but he stood up. Anyone, and the words here are important, because the water is the provision, the pouring out of the water is God's provision in the desert. And so he says, if anyone thirsts, if you thirst, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. So this is significant. This is very significant. But Jesus is telling us something. Jesus is telling us something, so we need to pay attention. Now, very interesting. This statement is very similar to what we looked at last week at the woman at the well. Very similar. So he meets this woman at the well who was non-Jewish. Isn't it interesting? Kind of the church thing going on here. She was non-Jewish. He meets the woman at the well, and listen to what he says to her. Jesus, this is John 4:10, woman at the well. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, do you see the connection? You're thirsty. Come to me and drink. I'll give you living water. There is the connection. So Jesus is using a picture, and he is trying to drive something home to us in the church. We're moving out of that Old Testament system, and we're moving into his New Testament ministry around the world. He has come to me and drink. I'll give you living water. And all his disciples, I mean the Jews that weren't his disciples, going, what is he doing? And his disciples are going, what is he doing? They don't understand, but he's communicating something to them. So we need to pay attention. And here's point one. If you ever, you need to write this down, all right? If you got an iPad, I know it has like a note thing, so you can type it in. And, you know, if you're like your kids, you can do this at Mach 5 speed. You know, I just do it. You know, the service would be over by the time I typed it in. But the kids, whoo, you know. So you need to type in, you need to write this down. Because here's what Jesus is telling. This is point one we need to know. This is important. Jesus gives living water to the thirsty. What did Jesus say? If anyone thirst. He didn't say, I give water. Just come in, we'll dunk you in. You know? No. If anyone thirst, come to me and drink. Woman, well, he said, I'll give you living water. So, point here, the point you need to know and move on from here, Jesus gives living water to the thirsty. Now, this is really important. It helps us understand a lot of things. Why don't people change? Why don't people move on? Why don't people do things different with the Lord? They're not thirsty. They're not thirsty. They're just not thirsty. And you know what? They're not going to do anything until they get thirsty. You just see people come in all walks of their life. Man, I just have this desire and I'm just moving here. I don't know. I want to know. They're thirsty. Living water comes to the thirsty. It's not a question about the living water. It's a question about finding people who are thirsty. Amen? Point one. Living water comes to the thirsty. Now, what does it mean to be thirsty? Now, we're going to work through what Jesus is talking about. What does it mean to be thirsty? I think there's a great verse in Psalms that helps us to identify the thirsty. Look at Psalm 63:1. Psalm 63:1. And it helps us understand what it means to be thirsty. And you're dealing with people, you can tell. Some people are just not thirsty. Well, if they just knew more. No, they're not going to change. They're not thirsty. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Oh, just to be with you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Oh, just like in a dry and weary land where there's no water. I can't even explain how my soul thirsts for you. It's just like being in a dry, weary land and there's no water. That's how I thirst for you. And God says, when you thirst for me, I'll give you living water. So if you bring somebody along that has no thirst, hey, I'll come to church if you go. There ain't no thirst. You couldn't pour the water on their head. It's not going to make any difference. You might as well pour the water on their head. It's not going to make any difference. You come to church and you come because you thirst. You thirst for God. You're thirsting for him. And when you thirst for him, he says, I'll give you living water. And that's what you want to know. That's what you want. You look at this. You know, I don't believe in missionary dating. You know what missionary dating is? Yeah, you say, I'll go with this lost person and I'll show them the goodness of Jesus and they'll come to know Jesus. That's missionary dating. Now, I believe in missionary work, but I don't believe in missionary dating. You know, because if you go with somebody that's not thirsty, he ain't going to get thirsty. He may want you, but he don't want God because he ain't thirsty. She ain't thirsty. You see what I'm saying? So you want to go, you're thirsting for God, and then everything else falls in place. If they don't thirst for God, everything else is a mess. You ever been around somebody that everything's a mess? It's because they don't thirst for God. If you thirst for God, it's not a mess. At least you understand what it is. Amen? You see what I'm saying? God gives living water to the thirsty. The issue is a person thirsty, and that's God working within some person. All right, we move on there. Now, here, I think we'll move over here to the cross. Right here, we go over here to the cross. We are at the cross, all right? We're at the cross, okay? And at the cross, we receive forgiveness. We receive acceptance. We receive eternal life. Jesus died in our place on the cross. And we stand at the cross totally forgiven. And then he also says, and we desire God, and we know he's forgiven us, and we know we're accepted. We have thirst for him. And because we thirst for him, he gives us living water at the cross. Now, you don't hear that. A lot of people don't preach on that. But you receive forgiveness at the cross, and you receive living water at the cross. So you receive living. I mean, you're sitting here, oh, I am forgiven, and just drinking of Jesus. Just stay here. Nice place to be. Besides, all those people driving me nuts. Just stay here. Not that I ever had that thought. But, see. Now, so what you have here, so it's how glorious it is to receive the life-giving, powerful, living water. See, and that is what God does at the cross. That's part of the cross, the forgiveness and the living water. But here's something. Now, this is fascinating, okay? And here's a revelation that Jesus tells us. We know this because Jesus tells us. That's a good thing. Jesus tells us things we don't know. That's a revelation. And he's telling us that the thirsty, he's telling us something about the thirsty who receive the living water. The thirsty who receive the living water become sources of that same living water. Now let that settle. Oh, I go to Jesus and I'll just drink. But once you drink, those who drink become sources of that same, sources within them of that same living water. Look what it says in John, next verse, John 7:38. Whoever, now remember, he said, don't forget, those that thirst, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. I'll give you living water. It's like the woman at the well. In John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, we're still in the Bible, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Did you see what that says? We drink, we're thirsting for God, and we drink of him, of his presence. He fills us, and we become not a dribble, a river of that same living water. We become sources of that water individually. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen? That's a powerful statement. Now, Jesus is telling, he's telling these Jews, like your feast. Good picture. Let me tell you what it means. And they're going, man, I don't get that. No, you're going to be a source of this living water. You're going to be live wells moving, water moving out through you. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be a source of this living water. Now, when he is with the woman at the well, he tells her the same thing. She didn't understand either. But he tells her the same thing. And look at John 4:14. And he tells the woman that's living well, the water that I will give you will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The water I give you becomes a spring that flows out of you. Oh, I get a drink and I'm not thirsty. No, that's half the message. No, you're become a spring, water just coming out. And then we see in John's head, you become not a spring, you become a river of water. See, that's what God is telling us. Now, point one, we talked about God gives living water to the thirsty. The issue is not living water, issue's the thirsty. Oh, if I hang around them, they'll get thirsty. Doubt it. All right? Now, you tell them about Jesus, and if there's a thirst for Jesus, that's the issue. Then they can get a drink. Then they get a drink, and then it comes out of them. All right? Living water is given to the thirsty. Here's the second thing. Fascinating. those who are thirsty drink the living water, become rivers of that very same water. You become rivers. Now, I'm going to do this illustration because we need to understand what it's saying here, what the Bible is saying. The fast thing about reading the Bible will press you farther than you ever thought you could go. You know, people do that, like a football coach. He'll press you to do that extra bit, you know? And so we get in church, well, God's good, God loves us, and we just kind of, you know, tread water. But if you read what God says, he presses us. We're going, oh, my gosh, who said that? Well, God said that. Jesus said that. Now, so what we want to look at this picture, we're at the cross, and we thirst for God, and we're receiving. Just imagine that water pouring over me. I'm loving the Lord, loving the forgiveness, and pouring on me from Jesus. Oh, gosh, that living water. What happens? What Jesus said. Now, he says, you go out, you become that same water pouring out on others. You become like Jesus with water flowing from you to others. That's what you do. You become like Christ with the power of God flowing through you. You are powerful. We're going to change the world. I'm like the Jew at the festival. No, I just poured a cup of water out. I mean, no big deal. I don't know where you're coming from. What in the world is that? I think I'm going to go get my little, you know, branch, palm tree shack and just get in my little tent, you know, with my twigs. Because I can't even grasp that. But he said, no, I'm telling you what this is going to be. I'm telling you. And by the way, the first 100 years, that's what the church did. They did that. They did that. See? Because you couldn't control these people. You couldn't control them. They were pouring water all over the place. You know, they couldn't comprehend what was happening. The Roman Empire, the strongest empire the world has ever known, couldn't comprehend what was happening. There's letters from governor to governor talking about Christians. I can't figure these people out. They couldn't figure out what was happening. And they weren't trying to set up a government. They're just running around pouring out water, you know? Well, they're not doing, they're not revolting, they're not doing anything. They're just running around pouring out water. Can't figure these people out. One letter from one governor, one Roman governor to another Roman governor says, they're nicer than our people. They're nicer than our people. You know, they're no problem, but they're strange. They're strange, okay? Now, so here we are. Point two, you're thirsty, you drink a living water. Number two, once you drink of the living water, you become a source of that very same water. Amen? Now, the Jews at the time and his disciples are going, wow, I'm not sure what this means. I'm not sure what, you know, you kind of hang out with Jesus and Jesus says something and you go, man, that's cool. I don't know what it means, but since he said it, I'm with him. I'm with him, you know, and that's how I read most of the Bible. He said it, okay, I'm with him. I don't know quite got this down yet, but I'm with him. That's what his disciples were doing. There's no indication that they understood what he's talking about. In fact, at the woman of the well, they came back and says, okay, we brought you some food. He said, I don't need any food. I have food you don't even know what to talk about. You don't even know what the food I'm talking about. And they say to each other, did you bring him something? They don't know. But he's telling us. He's trying to give us this picture. Now, we have the full revelation here. Now, so he tells us. He tells us what he's talking about. This picture, what does this picture of living water mean? What does living water mean? Jesus gives a very clear description of what the living water is. And his description is absolutely crucial and center to the church. This is crucial. The church can't function without it. Here he says, John chapter 7, verse 39. Praise God for this verse. Now this he said about the Spirit. There he goes. He told them, this living water, what is this? He's telling them. He said, I'm trying to tell you how the Holy Spirit works. It's like living water, and it's coming over you, wells up and pours out and goes all over the world. I give it to you, you give it to others. And he says, okay, what I'm talking about is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit comes, and that's how the Holy Spirit goes out. See, that there's a sense of power and authority that he connects us with. Now, he said this about the Spirit, who those who believed in him were to receive. He said, I'm going to give it to you. They were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not yet been given. Here's a huge difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Right here. I won't be a biblical scholar. Here is a huge difference. Jesus said the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Well, what about all those people in the Old Testament? God speaking to them. God spoke to them. That's what he did. And he put the Holy Spirit on Samson, which is kind of a bad egg. Samson had issues. You know, I mean, he just really did. But, you know, he loved God, but he just had issues. And he said he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and just whip everybody in town, you know. It's like it's break chains and everything. See, and then just take it away. And then he's just old Samson again, you know. So the Holy Spirit would come, do a work, leave. Come, do a work, leave. God would speak, he'd come, do a work, leave. Not in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit comes and takes permanent residence in a believer. Permanent resident. He doesn't leave. There's no indication anywhere in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit leaves. He does not leave. Once he entered in, he stays. And so what he's telling us right here, he says, I'm talking to you about the Spirit whom those believe are to receive. Because as of yet, the Spirit has not been given. It's not been permanently given. It hadn't happened yet. This living water hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen after Jesus is crucified. But it's going to happen. I'm just telling you up front so you know it's going to happen. Get ready. Get ready. Now, we need to flip over to another verse in Luke. I just want you to look at this so we can just kind of have a picture of what he ends up telling his disciples after his resurrection. Okay? So he tells them this after he, you know, he's buried, resurrected. So he talks to him again. He said, okay, well, one more hour. I'm going to try one more time with you guys. I mean, he's been dead and resurrected. He said, okay, I think I'm paying attention now. And he's going to tell him the same thing. And speaking directly about the Holy Spirit after his resurrection, Jesus restates the promise. By the way, this is a promise. Jesus makes a promise. He restates the promise and he reveals the significance of the promise in the age of the Holy Spirit. So this is for us. He's telling us the significance. Here it is in Luke 24:49, and it could go any place. But he's talking directly about the Holy Spirit. You can read that section of Luke 24. And he says this, and behold, I'm sending the promise. You know, he's dead and resurrected. He says, you know what I told you back? What I told you back in John 7, I'm going to send it. I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. Power from on high. So okay, we'll stay. You know. When did it come? Pentecost. The Jewish feast. Talked about in the Old Testament. Pentecost. It came. And Peter, who denied Christ, you know, Christ had to rebuke him. I mean, he was just showing so impulsive, you wouldn't think he would have it to accomplish anything. After Pentecost, he receives the Holy Spirit, preaches a sermon, and 3,000 people come to follow Christ. Is the promise of the Holy Spirit important? Help Peter out. Help Peter out, see? And it says it's for all believers. It's for the church. All those in the picture, in those shelters. You know, in those shelters. Those palm branch shelters. Now, so here you have the picture of what the Holy Spirit. This is the living. Let me put this. I am sending you the promise. The living water. And when the living water comes, you'll be clothed with power on high. Just like a big ocean wave come over you. You'll be clothed with power on high. Now, let's jump back to John. That Gospel of John. We'll just stay right in the Gospel of John. Going back to John, Jesus tells us the ramifications and the reason he's sending the Holy Spirit to believers. The reason he's clothing the believers with power from on high. He's now this is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm doing it. Look at John 14:12. We're in the same Gospel of John, all right? Same person right here. He's telling us why. Now read this. Rivers, you receive room. Oh, you're thirsty. You're receiving because you're thirsty, right? You're thirsty. You're receiving. And then you become a river of it flowing out of you. Oh, my goodness. Why? John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. You're going to do just like I did. You're going to do just like I did. See what the Bible says? Well, watch, we can't do what Jesus did. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You're going to do the works that I do. You're going to do the works that I do. Oh, and by the way, and greater works. Hey, listen, I was having problems doing works that you do. That's a problem for me. But now you're going to say, I'm going to do greater works than you do? I don't understand that at all. But he said, no. You're going to do the works that I do, and greater works than these you will do, because I'm going to the Father. You know? And I'm just going to pour out water. That's what he's going to do. He's just going to pour out water, and we're going to receive it. You know? You know, some of us think, hey, just pour out water. We got a big hot tub. We're just going to stay in here and bask in the tub. You know? And we get more water and get a bigger tub. You know? And just, no. You're going to receive it, and then you just pour it out. It continually pouring out. See, you're pouring out, and you behave like the things of Jesus. You know, well, that means person behave like Jesus because they're not thirsty, and they're not receiving the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through them. See what I'm saying? I mean, it's real clear what the Bible says, what the Bible says here. Now, so here we have third point. All right, with me, third point. Now, what was number one? The thirsty. God gives living water to the thirsty. That's the issue. Thirsty. You run around, look for thirsty people. Look for thirsty people. He gives living water to the thirsty. Once the thirst, number two, once the thirsty drink it, they become a source of that same living water, pouring it out just like Jesus. Number two. Here's number three. Number three. The promises of the Holy Spirit are so that believers can minister in the power and authority of Jesus himself. Why? So we can minister like Jesus. Oh, man, I wish Jesus was here. He could answer them. Jesus, I got you there. I got you there. You answer them. But I don't know. Take a big drink of living water and let the living water flow out. You'll have an answer. You see what I'm saying? It's the thirsty that have the answers. Jesus died for you. Yeah, I know. He died for my sins, and I die, and I'll go to heaven. God doesn't sound thirsty to me. And therefore, he won't have any answers, you know. But the thirsty have answers. Thirsty about Christ and his life. So number three is we drink of the living water. We're thirsty. And we become wells of living water. Why? So that we can minister. And I'm going to say this again. So we can minister in the power and the authority just like Jesus did. That's what it says. And that's the reason. You know what it says in John? We'll talk about this later on. He says, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Anything? That's what he says. Well, we go back. What you got to do, you got to be thirsty. You receive, and then you pour out, and you ask anything in his name, and you behave like he does. Amen? I mean, that's what it's saying here. It's powerful. Now, so here's the thing. This is absolutely, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial to Christianity. It is crucial. You can't survive. You can't be any part of a Christian in your actions without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's totally inconsistent with Scripture. So, and through the Holy Spirit, we're transformed from the Holy Spirit within. As we become that well, we're transformed. And then we become the very presence of Christ with anybody we come in contact with. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit within us. Not because we're so smart, because the Holy Spirit within us and starts flowing through us. And then we're asking him to speak and show us. Therefore, we need to speak the life of Christ, the power of Christ, and hope of Christ to the people around us. You know, I'm just going to say this because, I mean, if anybody looked like the elections, and I'm not going to name names or anything, yeah, but you look at it and you go, and I go, I shouldn't you go. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. What? This is a train wreck. God goes, so? You think I didn't know it? Well, what am I supposed to do? Here's what you're supposed to do. Don't argue about that candidate. Don't argue about this candidate. Don't get in a fight over this candidate. This is what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to speak the life of Christ, the power of Christ, and the hope of Christ into everybody you come in contact, because Christ is the only one that'll change anyway. And I don't care if you would elect Billy Graham as president. It ain't going to change the country. It's the life of Christ, the hope of Christ, the power of Christ. That's what you talk about. You be a spring of living water. That's what we do. That's what we do. And in fact, we are the only ones that can do that. The church is the only ones that can do that. Nobody else can do that. Because they're not thirsty. Only the thirsty can do that. So, hallelujah. Now, I want to just throw another little thing in there and just talk about spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are tools. They're like you're carrying a, carpenter comes, and he's got a tool bag, he's got a hammer, and he's got a saw, and he's got nails and wrenches and stuff. The spiritual gifts are a tool bag. See, but those tools are given to the thirsty to carry out that ministry, the power of God. And so that's why God gives them. And look at this, but look at the tools, what he says about the tools. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Look what he says about the tools. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire. Are you thirsty? I don't have any spiritual gifts. Are you thirsty? Well, I don't know. I don't want to do that. God be everything. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? God said, if you're thirsty, I'll give you what you need. It's not a thing of spiritual gifts or you don't have them. It's a question of you being thirsty. Don't pray somebody receive a spiritual gift. They're not thirsty. You see what I'm saying? When you're thirsty, it's amazing the people I prayed over for certain gifts, when they're thirsty, they receive them, because they're thirsty. Amen? So it's the same thing. Gosh, God is incredibly consistent. Heaven's going to be full of thirsty people that went and got a drink. And then they became a drink. They became a drink. And what Satan does, he doesn't want you to take a drink, and he certainly doesn't want you to be a drink. Don't talk about Christianity. Don't do that because it's coming into Satan's territory. No, don't talk about it because we don't want somebody to get a drink. Because they get a drink, and then they become a stinking river. Don't give them a drink. Oh, my gosh. See? So that's the reason. Don't say anything. Because Satan knows full well, all these people start drinking out of the living water, and we're going to have a stinking flood on our hands. We're not going to be able to control it. Only thing he can do, he can't stop the flood. He can just get us to shut up. Do you see what I'm saying? Man, it's so fascinating when you look at it. Okay, here we go. We end with this. The age of the Holy Spirit, Jesus empowers the thirsty. Jesus empowers. Why aren't we powerful? Not thirsty. I talk to myself. Lord, what? You're not thirsty. You're not thirsty. But I want this. That's what you want, but you don't want me. If you want me and you're thirsty, then I'll do this other stuff. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to do, we could end right there, but I'm going to back up this verse, because what you get, and my background, I come back and say, oh, okay, now you talked about the Holy Spirit, and you're focusing on the Holy Spirit. You didn't focus on the cross, and so the message is twisted because hadn't focused enough the salvation, the cross, too much of this Holy Spirit stuff, you're leading people astray. Now, that is a truth, is what people will say, okay? But the thing of it is, those are integrated. Those are integrated. The cross and the power of the Holy Spirit are integrated. And Jesus said the stuff about the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you a verse that you can keep that reconciles the whole thing. It reconciles the cross, reconciles the church, and reconciles the promise of the Holy Spirit and puts them in three verses, two verses. Puts them in two verses, all right? So it's all here. But look here at Galatians. Bear with me. This is for you that you can put in your pocket to understand that God says, I'm trying to make you powerful, and you're going to have Satan and a bunch of his demons going to try to make you not powerful. They're going to try to give you mess. Don't say that. Don't do that. Because it's coming because you're dangerous. You're dangerous. So you got to have some wisdom. Say, no, I'm dangerous. You better watch out. Don't tell me I can't say anything. You know, as I'm power, the rivers are flowing through me. But here's all reconciled in Galatians 3:13 and 14. Now look how this is laid out. Now this is putting it all together. All I'm doing is reconciling all these messages. Jesus is reconciling all these messages. It says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Where'd that happen? There. He redeemed us from the curse of the law that said you're bad by becoming a curse for us. He died on the tree. He who knew no sin became sin. He became a curse for us. That was 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us on the cross. There's a cross. Amen? Everybody got the cross. So all the people in the church world are happy we talked about the cross. Now we move forward, and here's the thing. Look at that, underline, so that. Why do you do that? So that. This is why I did it. So that, right? So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Now I put this in parentheses because we don't have time for another message here. It's the worldwide church. The blessing of Abraham. God told Abraham, you're going to bless the entire world. Your blessings are going to the entire world. All your descendants are going to receive the blessing of God. You know, well, how's he going to do it? Abraham didn't know how that, Jesus, how are you going to do it? Abraham didn't know how that's going to happen. God says right here, this is how it happens. Jesus is going to redeem us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. What? So that the promise to Abraham would come true. Worldwide church. Everybody. It's going to spread around the world. All these people are going to receive the blessings of Abraham. We're doing it because Christ died. They didn't know it then. They didn't know it. All right, there's. Now, so that. There's another so that. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming cursed for us. Well, last so that. So that we might receive the promise. Receive the Spirit as promised. For all that, well, you got to preach the Christ, okay? You got to preach the cross. Well, you preach the cross so that you receive the Spirit is promised. They go together. They go together. You can't receive the Spirit without the cross. So when you talk about the Spirit, you're believing the cross happened. When you talk about the cross, you know that the Spirit happened. Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law, being a curse for us, so that we would receive the Spirit as promised. And it's through the Spirit that the power of Christ spreads throughout the world. Without the preaching of the Spirit, you undermine and degrade the cross. Without preaching the Spirit, you degrade and undermine the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we stand, we praise the Lord on that. This is the information here. You know, you think that if the whole idea is the reason that we walk out of here, that each individual is powerful. Because Satan is working in the entire world. Satan is working in the entire world to ruin your testimony. Satan has a bullseye on you. Do you think Satan has a bullseye on the world leaders and this lost person? No, he does not. He has a bullseye on you. And he wants to undermine your testimony. He'll bring people that don't know him into your life to undermine your testimony, to keep your mouth shut so that you won't become a source of that living water. So the reason it takes so much time to look at this, that we know who we are. And you walk in. I walk in to this. I'm thirsty. I walk in, and because I've received a drink of water, I become a drink of water. You think you walk in the room. Some of you like that. When you walk in the room, you become a drink of water. You become a drink of water when you walk. Now, some people are not thirsty, you know. I don't want what you have. Give me a club soda. All right, fine. But I'm a cool drink of living water. You come to me, all right. And being that drink of water, you come and you have all the power and authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. You change the atmosphere. And what Satan does, I got to do something to undermine. They can't know who they are. They can't know. I got to get somebody to get them off track. I got to get somebody to move them here. I got to get them over here, confuse them. Because if they ever figure out who they are, we're done. We're done. Satan says, this is going to be out of control. That's the reason this stuff happens to us. That's the reason we crazy things come. Don't think it's an accident. You are a threat to Satan. You are a threat to him. Nobody else in the world is a threat because he just moves them however he sees fit. You're a threat. And he does not want you to know who you are. Amen. We're going to have our prophetic team come down here, and they'll be ministering prophetically over you, hearing from the Lord, and encourage you to participate in that prophetic ministry, hearing from God, and let them speak to you and minister to you through the Spirit. And it's just the power of bringing supernatural into the church, just one avenue. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you what you've done for us. And you just like plead with us. What are you pleading with us? You say, come to me and drink. I mean, that's good news. That's good. He said, just come to me and drink. That's all I want you. Just come to me and drink. And we thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.